dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host, and I will be your guide for the war of ideas we're waging here today. Jeremy Rapkin, in segment two, will be talking about lawfare, the International Criminal Court, what it means for the prosecution of the leader of Sudan, but what it might also mean for future prosecutions of American civilian leaders and military personnel. All of that in segment two. Segment three, Patrick Poole, one of America's great counterterrorism experts, a member of our Team B at the Center for Security Policy, Team B2 we call it. We'll be talking about that report and the insights that it raises about both the character of the threat we're facing within the United States, which Patrick has been documenting, and the criticism that we're getting about the Team B report from some of the usual suspects. All of that is segment three. And then segment four, Congressman Trent Franks, one of the great leaders on Capitol Hill when it comes to matters of national security, senior member of the Armed Services Committee, just back from a conference he attended in London on electromagnetic pulse, a very serious threat to this country, and we'll be getting his insights into that threat and what we can do about it. All of that straight ahead. But yesterday, we don't often get a chance to celebrate a victory, but yesterday we did see one, a very important setback to those who are seeking to impose upon the United States military a social agenda that is absolutely inimical to the good order and discipline of our armed forces, which is critical to the ability, particularly of an all-volunteer force, to do the job we ask it to do, particularly in time of war, namely to protect us. The issue was whether the defense authorization bill would be taken up, which would have effectively meant that the repeal of a 1993 law that prohibited overtly homosexual individuals from serving in the United States Armed Forces would be repealed. This had already been passed through the House. It's part of the Pelosi machine, the Obama agenda, but it was attached in the Senate Armed Services Committee by Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the committee, over strenuous objections from the minority of the committee. And the question was whether Senator John McCain, the ranking minority member, the top Republican on that committee, would be able, in an unprecedented turn of events, to prevent that bill from being taken up on the Senate floor, a filibuster, in other words. He needed to have at least 41 votes to be sustained in that filibuster. He got 43. This is a great credit to Senator McCain, who most especially found utterly objectionable the idea that there was going to be a repeal of a law that was very carefully thought through some 17 years ago, that was adopted after extensive hearings, I think some 12, on both sides of Capitol Hill. Much debate, much thought. But that this was going to be thrown over the side, not only without significant hearings or real deliberation, but even before the Pentagon, which has had underway for the past 5 or 6 months, an intensive assessment of what the implications of repeal of this law would be for the military. But they're not going to be providing that report until December 1st. So in the interest of trying to get this nailed down before the president and his team on Capitol Hill suffered the kinds of reverses that are seemingly going to take place come November 2nd, the idea was, well, let's just repeal the law now, and then we won't make it go into effect until after this report is submitted by the Pentagon's team that's looking at it on the 1st of December. And only thereafter, if three individuals say, it's okay, we can make this change without undue harm to our military. Well, who are those three that the law envisioned having so certify? Well, one was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Michael Mullen. The second was the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. And the third was Barack Obama, the Commander-in-Chief. Now, as may have come to your attention, all three of those people have already staked out very publicly and repeatedly positions saying, we can do this, no problem, we need to do it, it's the moral thing to do, it's the political thing to do in some cases, but in any event, it's going to happen. So, this was a wired game, folks. The study really be damned. They were going to get this thing repealed by ensuring that the only people who would stand in the way, not members of Congress, no, not the people who enacted this law or their successors, but executive branch officials, every single one of whom had already said they were in favor of repeal. So this is the kind of thing that cried out for the sort of adult supervision that, to his credit, Senator John McCain provided with his leadership of the filibuster. I want to also salute Senators Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins of Maine and Scott Brown of Massachusetts, all three of whom were under intense pressure to go along with the LGBT activists, the so-called lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender team. And they resisted that pressure for a variety of reasons, but to their credit, they did resist that pressure. This law is not going to be repealed, at least not by Congress and not right now. Now, two things. I want to salute also the most important person outside of Congress in all of this, Elaine Donnelly. She's been on our show many times. We'll have her back soon to talk about all this. She's the leader of the Center for Military Readiness, an absolutely fabulous resource. I encourage you to support CMR and Elaine Donnelly, because without her work, her leadership, her mastery of these issues, this bill would have certainly been repealed by now. And the military afflicted, I'm afraid, with a social engineering and experimentation program that was absolutely at odds with what our forces should be focused upon, which is doing their jobs, protecting America, defeating our enemies, not trying to adjudicate how you integrate, well, among others, transgender individuals into our armed forces. This is craziness. It's irresponsible. And thank God and thank all of those involved for staving this off. There will be a decision by the Justice Department tomorrow, we're told, on whether to appeal a silly and reckless decision by some federal judge out in California that she knows better than the military what military readiness requires. I pray they will do that. It may be another end run on the Congress if they don't, the appeal doesn't go forward. But we'll be following that closely, and I hope you will be too. But next up, we have our friend Jeremy Rapkin on another threat to our sovereignty and our security. Lawfare. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Imagine you are a small child living a constant nightmare of abuse and neglect. Late one night, you are rescued from this awful situation and whisked off to a shelter. It happens so fast you have no time to take anything with you. No stuffed animal, no special blanket, not even a clean change of clothes. Scared and with people you don't even know, you have nothing to cling to for comfort. Sadly, each year in America, over 300,000 children endure this trauma and are placed in foster care with empty hands and empty hearts. That's where we come in. With your help, My Stuff Bags Foundation can give these kids their very own My Stuff duffels filled with new toys, a stuffed animal, and other desperately needed items. Let's show thousands of children across America that people do care about them with new belongings and new hope. Please call 8663-MY-STUFF or visit mystuffbags.org. That's 8663-MY-STUFF or mystuffbags.org. Thank you.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy?
Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by one of our favorite experts on matters involving sovereignty, the Constitution, and lawfare, a significant, if often underappreciated, threat to all of the above. He has written thoughtfully on so many of these subjects, and most recently has been expressing himself on a subject in which some of these issues come together in connection with Sudan. And I wanted very much to get Jeremy Rabkin, professor of law at George Mason University, back with us to talk about Sudan and then broaden the lens a little bit out so that we see how this fits into the larger challenges of our time when it comes to the sovereignty of the United States. Jeremy Rabkin, thank you, as always, for joining us here at Secure Freedom Radio.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Let's start with Sudan. You have talked about the time bomb there. I know this is not entirely related to the International Criminal Court's proceedings against the president of Sudan, but talk to us about what that time bomb is and how it does indeed fit into this larger internationalist program.
Well, everybody, remembers we've had a lot of concern about Darfur, which is in the west of Sudan, and it's thought that perhaps as many as 300,000 people have been killed in the fighting there, so that's very sad and worrisome. But that's just in the last few years. Over the last 20 years, there's been a civil war involving the south of Sudan, and it's thought the death toll there is like 2 million, so that's much more serious, and that's where the oil is. After years of really very, very nasty, terrible fighting, there was an agreement in the last few years that they would have a referendum on whether the South should separate. And the vote for that is supposed to take place in January. They say maybe next month they will start registering people to vote there. They are months behind in getting this going, and there's a lot of concern that either the referendum won't take place, or if it does take place, it will not lead to a peaceful separation, and they'll go back to the fighting. This has the potential to not only be extremely bloody, but China's interested in the oil. Once there's oil, people look up. So this could be a very, very messy and nasty thing. Now, in the background is the International Criminal Court decided that its contribution would be to indict the president of Sudan. The international community is trying very hard to get him to agree to the referendum, agree to abide by the referendum, to make a peaceful transition, and we're in the meantime saying, or they are saying in The Hague, we're going to prosecute you no matter what, which is a real incentive for him to cooperate. It's a very big mess.
Yeah. Your point is so well taken on several of these issues, the extent to which this is a travesty that has been going on for decades and that the international community has largely turned a blind eye to, that the Chinese are not only interested in the oil, they're actually in Sudan,
of course they are,
exploiting it. And in fact, there's been some reason to believe, Jeremy Rapkin, that not only are Chinese military personnel associated with protecting their oil investments, but certainly Chinese interests in exploiting that oil, which they share, of course, with the Arabic north of the country and the ruling government, has contributed to some of this genocidal ethnic cleansing, or whatever you want to call it.
Of course, because there's a prize. There's a prize. It's worth fighting for. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And China, you know, has the kind of self-confidence of European powers in the late 19th century when they were grabbing pieces of Africa. China is growing at a great rate. It feels militarily stronger and stronger, and it looks out in the world and says, there's no one to stop us, so we can do what we want. And we say, no, but there's the UN, you know, the UN, and we keep pretending that that is some kind of important and meaningful constraint, which I think people in China are just sniggering at.
Yeah, and properly so, given not only the fact that it has proven to be so feckless over the years, but that they have a veto. That
they have a veto, right? What are they going to do to them?
Yeah, proven effective in protecting their interests. Well, Jeremy Rapkin, tell us what, in the short time we have here, what you would do in this circumstance. Is the right thing to do to be encouraging this International Criminal Court investigation proceedings?
Let me mention one thing. There's now a lot of nostalgia for the Bush administration. We should remind ourselves that the Bush administration spent its second term more or less apologizing for what it did in its first term and trying to ingratiate itself with respectable opinion. And one of the things the Bush administration did was to vote at the UN to authorize the International Criminal Court to intervene in Sudan. Sudan is not a signatory. The court wouldn't have jurisdiction. It was the Bush administration that said, we're very concerned about Darfur, we don't know what to do, so let's bring in this prosecutor from The Hague who on his own will figure out what to do. And this was extremely foolish and I think self-indulgent, because I think it was just a way of saying, well, you hate us for things we're doing in the war on terror, but you see we're really nice people because we care about Darfur. So they put this guy on automatic pilot, and he, of course, came down with indictments. I'm sure the president of Sudan deserves to be punished. I mean, he's a very thuggish dictator. But the fact is, it's not a way to win friends and influence people, to indict them, particularly if you have no way of following through on the indictment. So, of course, after he was indicted, he just expelled all these Western NGOs from the country and then became sulky and difficult, which was completely predictable. And we're now in this awkward position of we have no way of turning off the prosecutor. All that the criminal court treaty allows is that the Security Council, if there's a unanimous agreement to this among the great powers, the Security Council can suspend a prosecution for a year at a time. But what it can't do is say, okay, let's just end this and we'll make a deal, amnesty. You take refuge in another country and go away. Which, by the way, he's not likely to do. He just got himself reelected. So we have reduced our leverage by bringing in this really kind of fifth wheel, this prosecutor who's on autopilot.
Yeah.
He's an independent actor, right?
Yeah.
And there's something just insane about, you know, world powers worrying about a lawyer in The Hague, and that becomes another, you know, what will China do? What will Russia do? What will Nigeria do? And what will The Hague do? Why do we have to worry about that? But we've put ourselves in that box.
Let me quickly, in the remaining minute, I think is all we have left, Jeremy Rapkin, author of, among others, wonderful books, Law Without Nations, The Case for Sovereignty, Why Sovereignty Matters. I mean, this is something you're deeply expert in. What are the implications of having created a precedent here with this rogue prosecutor, perhaps in The Hague, for his or people like him using the International Criminal Court to come after American officials, civilian or military?
Well, it's possible. I mean, it would be helpful for us to say in a loud voice, look, this hasn't worked. And so let's all now take note and not be in a rush to bring in the International Criminal Court. But I think the Obama administration is not at all inclined to look up and say that. I mean, I'm sure they all know that now, but to say it publicly would be saying all of these high-minded international slogans which we've been mouthing for the last 2 years are a delusion and a snare. I can't imagine that Susan Rice is going to say that at the UN.
Hardly likely. And more to the point, they'd have to come up with some other plan for this. Best I can tell,
that's
it's
good.
Just sort of see if we can slam the South into further acquiescence to the North. Jeremy Rapkin will be following this closely, and I hope you will come back and update us on what is truly an American national interest, not just a humanitarian one far away. Next up, we have Patrick Poole coming to join us about the Team B report, the implications of it, and what we're hearing in terms of criticism. Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney. Are you tired of Congress rushing through far-reaching legislation without understanding the consequences or even reading the bill? It's given us a flawed health care plan, an ineffective stimulus package, runaway spending, and crippling debt. Now President Obama wants the Senate to treat our national security the same way by approving the new START treaty with Russia before anyone really understands its ominous implications. The treaty would leave us with fewer deployed nuclear weapons than the Russians and impede our missile defenses while doing nothing about growing nuclear threats from China, Iran, and North Korea. When it comes to keeping America safe, it can't be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Tell your senators that in an ever more dangerous world, we need a strong and reliable deterrent, not a bad treaty. Stop the START treaty now. Paid for by the Center for Security Policy, stopthestarttreaty.org.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke?
If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We're joined for this segment of Secure Freedom Radio by Patrick Poole, a very significant contributor to the Team B2 report, which is entitled Sharia, the Threat to America, which you can find, once again, I should say, at shariathethreat.com. I strongly encourage you to take a look at it, in part because of the insights that it reflects from our colleague Patrick Poole, a national security counterterrorism expert, a man who contributes mightily to the War of Ideas through his own blog, Patrick Poole, that's P-O-O-L-E.com, also through Pajamas Media, and I'm very happy to say through the site we collaborate with, BigPeace.com. And Patrick, you had a very important piece we'll talk about tomorrow, rather in yesterday's postings on Big Piece. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about sort of your takeaway from the Team B2 exercise. What in your estimation
was its most important insights, and what would you commend to our listeners they focus on as they study up on this question of Sharia and the threat that it poses to America?
Well, I think the most important thing about the report, what the report points out, is that the theoretical religious legal system that's part and parcel with Islam, called Sharia, and Sharia is not some vague unknown, make it up as you go along kind of system of doctrine. I mean, it's a clear, concise, it's something that could be understood, something that can be, you can pull out a book of Islamic law and find out exactly what Islam is. And this system is in direct contradiction to American values of freedom, democracy, equality,
our constitution, to say the least, right?
Yes. So I think that's the cash value, is that Sharia, that has as the URL you just gave, Sharia the threat. Sharia is the threat. And so we can't get bogged down into we can break away from the discussion of whether this is an issue of freedom of religion. Just like we didn't, sit and wring our hands about fascism. Do we have allow fascists, freedom of, to infiltrate our government? So that, I think that's the big takeaway.
Well, and in that regard, one of the criticisms that we've heard of our Team B2 report is that we didn't adequately, at least to the satisfaction of these critics, consult with Muslim authorities or scholars or experts. And in the piece that you filed at bigpiece.com, I guess it's the first installment of a two-part series that you posted at bigpiece.com yesterday, Patrick Poole, you offered some very important insights. First of all, that we did indeed consult in a fashion the authorities of Islam in making the point that you've just made about Sharia. So let's start with that, and then we'll come to the people that we were unable to consult with, who have evidently are the kind of people they had in mind, these critics, and why.
Well, and I specifically was addressing Matt Duss of thinkprogress.org, and he's also with Center for American Progress, the Obama political think tank machine. And Duss raised this issue in our press conference last week. And, the point I made in my retort yesterday was that, hey, these Islamic scholars that Matt Duss wants us to consult with are the very people who are the problem. The most distinguished Islamic scholar in America today sits in a federal jail cell, and his name is, Omar Abdel Rahman, the blind sheikh, who issued the fatwa to allow the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He's currently serving a life sentence for his role in the Day of Terror plot, and he has a doctorate in Quranic studies from Al-Azhar University, and he actually taught at Al-Azhar University, which is, without comparison, the prime seat of Islamic learning in the world, and has been for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
This was the top Islamic scholar.
Then so he's unavailable.
He was unavailable to us for comment. And then you have these, the Fiqh Council on North America, which bills itself as the highest religious Islamic authority in North America. And it's a who's who of unindicted co-conspirators, terrorist cheerleaders, and in several cases, actual terrorists. One of the founding trustees was Abdurrahman Alamoudi, who's also in federal prison out at in the Supermax in Florence, Colorado.
So he's unavailable.
US, Yeah, he's unavailable to us. Follows Damra, who was deported. We've even had people recently deported, like Nabil Sadoun, who was on CARES board of directors up until he got deported.
Right.
Earlier this year.
We're making a point that I think can't be overemphasized, and that is that the folks that the Matt Dusses of the world would regard as the legitimate authorities on Islam are, in fact, A, adherence to this Sharia program and therefore trying to destroy America, and B, many of them are unavailable simply because they're in federal prison or they've been deported or they're unindicted co-conspirators or in some other fashion they've been discredited as the sort of people that a team like ours that was doing a threat assessment would want to be informed by. But Patrick, before we let you go, we've got about 2 minutes to go. Let's just focus in on this other point, which we did indeed, in the preparation of this report, massively draw on the authorities of Islam. Some of them long dead, but nonetheless, folks who have written, including the sacred texts themselves, the Quran, the Hadiths, the schools, and so on, talk a little bit about those as underpinnings of an analysis that makes it absolutely valuable, even if these other characters could not be or should not be, you know, involved.
Well, I think of the as a Protestant, I think of the call back in the Reformation, ad fontes, back to the sources. And that's exactly what we did with the Team B, is we went back to the Islamic sources, the authoritative experts, whether it's Bukhari, whether it's Muslim. Anybody who reads the Team B2 report will see that we consulted the highest authorities, scholarly authorities in Islam. And that's the sources. And the report is replete with references to these Islamic sources, which are acknowledged by Muslims in the Islamic scholars themselves as their ultimate sources for Sharia.
Right. So, and Patrick, I guess that's the crux of it, and we're going to have to let you go with this, but I think what you've described and the kind of professionalism that the rest of the team, like your good self, brought to this, ensures that this document really does stand up to close scrutiny. And in fact, I've been sort of struck, we haven't had anybody challenging the authority of the document itself based upon these citations. So I consider that a very good sign. Patrick, we're going to let you go, but please come back. You've been doing fantastically important work tracking the Muslim Brotherhood's operations and similar kinds of seditious activities in the heartland of America, and we appreciate so much your time with us today as well as your service to our country. So thank you, my friend, and do come back soon. Next up,
thanks, Frank.
We've got Congressman Trent Franks on the EMP threat. Straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity, DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he should...
Yeah, he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We are joined by one of our all-time favorite members of the United States House of Representatives, Congressman Trent Franks, a senior member of the House Armed Services Committee, one of its, I think, most influential figures on the sort of strategic threats that this country is facing, and we'll be talking about several of them in the course of this brief segment with him. Congressman Franks, I gather you're in a public space, so thank you for taking a few minutes to be with us, and we'll bear with the quality of the phone, but I'm delighted to have you with us as always.
Well, I'm so glad I could be here, Frank. I tell you, sometimes, as you know, the schedule around here does not lend itself to anything but chaos, and I'm sorry, but that should get better here soon, but I'm always glad to be with you.
Good. Well, you manage the chaos better than most, so we're grateful to you for taking a few minutes. Let's start. You've just come back, as I understand it, from an important conference in Europe, in Britain, on this threat of electromagnetic pulse. Can you give us a sense of what you discovered or found, at least in the course of the conversations there, that should be shared with our audience here at Secure Freedom Radio?
Well, you know, Frank, it seemed like throughout history, civilization is always caught flat-footed with something that they really already knew about, but just didn't take into a special account. I was struck by the fact that the London fire had wiped out 90% of London. While I was there, I was just listening to some of their history. And, you know, fire was something that they knew about at the time. And yet they weren't ready for it. Their code had been essentially ignored, and they really engineered themselves into being very vulnerable to fire, as simple as it was. And yet that's essentially what we've done today with electromagnetic pulse and geomagnetic storms from the sun. We've engineered our entire electric infrastructure so that it is now very vulnerable to that, and that's an inevitable reality. I mean, the geomagnetic storms are part of a natural occurrence that usually happens about once every 100 years. And in this case, if it happened today, as it did the first time we really measured it in 1859 by a guy named Richard Carrington, if that same thing happens today, it would devastate our American civilization. I mean, it is that significant. Nearly our entire infrastructure would be irreparably damaged. And I don't think any of us recognize the gravity of the situation as much as we should. And this summit that we did in England, I was a co-sponsor of it, and what would be the equivalent of our Armed Services Committee chairman, and of course what would be the equivalent of our Secretary of Defense participated. The first gentleman was also the co-sponsor from England on it, and it was very sobering. I mean, we were already aware because the E&P Commission has done a report now, the Department of Energy has done a report now, the National Academy of Sciences has done a report now, NASA has done a report now, and all of them come down to this one fundamental conclusion: that geomagnetic storms and high-altitude nuclear blasts, either one could create an electromagnetic pulse that would devastate our infrastructure and absolutely put our society in chaos. And it's the one threat that the EMP Commission suggests is capable of defeating our U.S. military.
Yeah. Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona, this is sobering stuff indeed, and I think your analogy to the exposure that London had to a catastrophic fire is so apt, and maybe a perfect metaphor for the larger purpose, not just this conference. Given this and the fact that you have anticipated the danger of a high altitude burst of a nuclear weapon outside the atmosphere, which as a practical matter I guess has to be delivered there by a ballistic missile, has prompted you, for among other reasons, to focus as you have so effectively and for so long on the need for missile defense. I'm wondering, first of all, how you feel about the START treaty, which seemingly is going to create new impediments to the realization of the kind of comprehensive missile defense we really should have against this and other threats, now approved by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, now going to the Senate floor at some point, probably in the lame duck session. So that's point one. Point two, the geomagnetic storm problem, that this is something that could arise as a result of naturally occurring phenomena. Tell us how these two things are weighing on you at the moment, sir.
Well, I would just suggest to you that when you put the potential of a nation like Iran gaining a nuclear weapons capability and geomagnetic, or in this case, electromagnetic pulse, which is what we use, the term we use for that which is induced by the nuclear blast at high altitude. When you put those two things together, and then when you recognize that Iran, we've discovered some of their military writings, within them articles suggesting EMP attacks as a strategy. And then when you realize that Iran has now done some exercises using water-launched missiles out of the Caspian Sea, when they had plenty of ranges to test these missiles, they don't need to do a seaborne launch, but they did. And they detonated their test missile at apogee, which means at the highest point of the arc of the trajectory. Many people, including me, see no explanation for that other than an exercise to deliver an EMP attack on a potential enemy of Iran. And let me just say to you, when you put those things all together, it is a very sobering equation.
Right. And hence the need for missile defense, point one, obviously. But point two, what should we be doing against both of these threats, particularly one that might not involve, you know, man-caused disasters, as they like to say, right, in the Obama administration, but naturally occurring ones?
Well, the naturally occurring ones, we really only have one defense because it's going to occur. I mean, it always has. It's just almost as predictable as certain, you know, stellar and lunar and planetary rotation and revolution schedules. And the good news is this can be mitigated dramatically if we respond soon enough. We can place resistors or even better capacitors between the load and the major transformers in this country and others. And we can very strongly, just like they could have in the, you know, the days of the London fire, if they'd had a fire code and done some things better, you know, we could have solved a lot about the Chicago fire. I mean, I guess the reason I keep mentioning those things is because fire was a well-known thing there. Today, electromagnetic pulse is a well-known phenomena that could do even worse than that, and we are not creating a code to deal with it, but we can. We can protect our electric infrastructure and therefore protect what is sort of the backbone of a lot of other infrastructures, and it's not impossible. The problem will be to overcome people's hesitance, and this is something that's not terribly expensive, but it is absolutely vital, in my opinion. Of course, missile defense is very, very important, not only to dissuade a potential enemy from trying something like this, but also, in case they do, to be able to have a chance at defeating that. So it's always astonishing to me that those of us in government whose first purpose is to protect our citizens sometimes overlook the obvious.
Yeah. Congressman, we've only got a minute left. I want to first thank you for your leadership on that front and commend the GRID Act, which I know you were involved in the House, which could, in fact, effectively put some of those defenses, if you will, in place, at least on the circuit breakers and the electromagnetic naturally occurring phenomenon side. In the remaining 30 seconds I've got, yesterday the Senate, your counterparts on the other side of Capitol Hill, blocked the National Defense Authorization Act, preventing the repeal, at least for the moment, of the so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Can you give us your quick sense, very quick sense, of how important that was?
Yes, I think they did the right thing. I think the defense bill will ultimately pass. But this idea of putting social engineering that is antithetical to the military itself on top of our soldiers carrying the load is a disgrace, and I'm glad that the Senate Republicans took a stand to stop it.
Well, and a couple of Democrats joined them in doing so. We hope they'll stay the course on that. Congressman Trent Franks, again, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for periodically checking in with us and for the very important work you're doing on the Hill and for our country, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Well, I just don't think there's a more important group out there doing this kind of work than you guys.
Thank you, sir. Frank. We're going to have to let it go at that. Come back tomorrow, same time, same station, for more. This is Frank Gaffney. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
This is Frank Gaffney. Are you tired of Congress rushing through far-reaching legislation without understanding the consequences or even reading the bill? It's given us a flawed health care plan, an ineffective stimulus package, runaway spending, and crippling debt. Now President Obama wants the Senate to treat our national security the same way by approving the new START treaty with Russia before anyone really understands its ominous implications. The treaty would leave us with fewer deployed nuclear weapons than the Russians and impede our missile defenses while doing nothing about growing nuclear threats from China, Iran, and North Korea. When it comes to keeping America safe, it can't be business as usual on Capitol Hill. Tell your senators that in an ever more dangerous world, we need a strong and reliable deterrent, not a bad treaty. Stop the START treaty now. Paid for by the Center for Security Policy, stopthestarttreaty.org.